To forgive or not to forgive, that is the question. Who makes the decision to forgive? You do. And that's the question. Will you make it? And so that's kind of where we want to go at today. But before I get into the actual message, I need to do this first. I want to show you five things, five issues of life that will either hinder or block God moving in our lives through His Holy Spirit. There are five things I've learned over the years and over study and hanging around with other pastors and preachers. There are five main issues that will block or greatly hinder the Holy Spirit ministering or moving in anyone's life. And we need to know these things for a couple of reasons. First of all, they could be in our lives, and we don't understand sometimes why I can't get as close to the Lord or hear the Lord or receive from the Lord as I would like. But we need to understand from the perspective of these things are tremendous battlefields. These five things I'm about to show you develop strongholds in our lives, but they're not unconquerable. The Bible says this, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Nothing is too difficult for the Lord. But there are things that will hinder Him moving in our lives. And so these things could be going on in our lives, and we need to understand why sometimes we can't seem to get through or beyond into a different area with the Lord. But also, as ministries, as priests unto our Lord, which we are, He has made us kings and priests, am I right? As priests unto our Lord, we should be ministering to people. And you will cross the paths of people who are fighting these strongholds, who are wrestling with these strongholds in their lives. And when you're able to identify these five things, these five elements and these five issues that are active in their life, you'll understand and have much more compassion on this person because you'll understand what a warfare they're really in. So I want to do that. But before I give them to you, one more thing. I want to quote to you Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus, for they that walk after the Spirit and not according to the flesh." And I think I had those reversed. They that walk not according to the flesh, but after the Spirit is the way it says. So what I want you to understand is if these things are a battlefield for you, if any of these things are an area that you now battle, have battled, or will battle, understand there's no condemning here. No one's trying to condemn you, but show you, help you. Because if you're walking after the Spirit, you will overcome them. You will conquer them. You will be victorious. And it's He that overcometh that shall sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and sat with my Father in His. So, let's go. Number one is the occult. Fill in your blank. Number one there would be occult. And please notice that I don't have them listed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because there is no chronological order here. The number one one is the one you struggle with, or the one that you're ministering to someone who is struggling with. That becomes number one. But just in order here, just to give them to you, the occult. Now, I'm not talking about a time when you were a teenager and you sat down with somebody and played with a little Ouija board for a little while. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you have programmed your life according to that Ouija board. I'm talking about when you look at tarot cards, when you're calling the hotlines to get a consolation, a consultation from a psychic. I'm talking about tarot cards. I'm talking about divination, voodoo, amulets, casting spells. I'm talking about when you're hanging out with witches and warlocks. I'm talking about when you've gotten into this thing big. When somebody has gotten to this point in their life, there is a tremendous hindrance for the Holy Spirit to minister into this life. One, because this person will constantly be relying back upon their voodoos. They'll be constantly relying back upon their Ouija boards and their tarot cards. Instead of allowing the Lord to work out your vengeance, you will inflict a curse upon someone. And you're struggling here. Now, it can be overcome. How do you overcome? Well, it has to be renounced. Do you remember in the book of Acts when Paul went to the Ephesus? And he ran into all these people that worshiped Diana. And there was all this occultism going on. You remember what they did with those books and amulets and all those tarot cards and those kinds of things? They burned them. Those things must be burned. You not only renounce them, you burn that stuff. You get it out of here. You renounce it. You turn from it. You plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon your life. And then you begin to walk away from that. And you cannot really, when you find yourself relying on that kind of stuff, you bind it. And you release it. And you go on with Jesus Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you and not the tarot cards. That's number one. Number two. Control. Spousal abuse. Relational abuse. Now, this is not greater today than it's ever been. We just hear more about it. It's always been here. And again, we mostly think of it as a man being abusive to his wife or to his children. And yes, that is. But it's not only a man. It's also coming from the woman. A woman, Jezebel, was very controlling. And she manipulated her husband, Ahab. Now, a woman will use and control with her body, sexual favors, those kinds of things. A woman will control by manipulation. A woman can also be controlling. And young people, hear me. I'm not just talking to us married folks. If you're in a relationship, as you grow up and you begin to have a relationship with someone that could possibly become your spouse and they are very controlling, you better run. Because it's not going to get better. It will only get worse. And we hear so much about this today, it's not any greater today than it was then. What I want to try to do as a pastor and as a teacher of the Word of God is to make us aware. The Word of God is a light unto my path and a lamp, right? And so what we should be able to see is see where we're walking. If I teach you properly, you should be able to see what's out there before you get to it. Control. How do you defeat control? How do you get over control? How can you get beyond this? How can you get this out of your life so that the Holy Spirit can minister to you? Because as long as that controlling element is in your life, you will be forced to believe the individual who is the controller will cause the controlee to think they have to have this person in their life. They can't live without this person. They have developed into the controlee such an inferiority complex, such a lack of self worth, that they no longer feel worthy of being able to accomplish or do anything by themselves without this person. It's demonic. How do you defeat it? You have to break that relationship. You must get away from that person and put yourself around people that will edify you and build you up and cause you to realize who and what you really are and what you're created to do. You cannot remain around a controlling spirit. They can't be defeated. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of these things. Now, an individual who has this in their life has a very difficult time allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to them because they want to continue to rely on this person. Because this person has convinced them that they have all their answers and not the Holy Spirit. Number three. Homosexuality. Homosexuality is a bondage of the mind. Romans chapter 1 tells us that these particular individuals, men with women and women, men with men and women with women, are given over to a reprobate mind. God is giving them over to their lust and to their perversion. And it is so contrary to the things of God. It is so contrary to the way God created creation. Animals, the animal kingdom doesn't do that. You don't find male deers hanging out with male deers. You know, they don't do that. It's so contrary to creation. And it becomes a bondage in the mind. It becomes such a thing to overcome. You find their lives, as you watch them and observe them, they're constantly a downward spiral. Things are always happening in a negative way. Every once in a while there may be an uplift, but for the most part it's a downward spiral, ending often in death and destruction. It's horrible. It's a bondage. Can it be broken? Yes, it is, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds. How do you do it? You have to sever the relationship. Usually there is a primary relationship. That relationship must be cut. You must avoid that individual. Stay away from that individual. Put yourself around heterosexuals and people that will cause you to understand the proper ways of life and its abundance. But it's a constant battle. Constant battle. But it can be defeated. Now, you know where I'm going. I'm heading for forgiveness here in a minute. Why am I doing all of this? Because I want you to understand that we don't look at forgiveness as such a bondage as we would homosexuality or as we would occultism. But I want you to understand that unforgiveness will cause a blockage in the ministry of God into your life just as one of these. Number four. Abortion. Now, there is therefore now no condemnation. I'm not talking about a miscarriage. talking about an individual who has purposefully taken the life of their child. Several years ago, I was ministering about abortion. I was going through the scriptures and teaching our congregation about abortion and what the Bible really said, and from the perspective of God. Not from the perspective of man, but from the perspective of God. As I was in that teaching, a lady came to me in her 60s. She came weeping and she came crying. And she said, "Pastor, I did that. When I was a young woman, I did that." And she says, "There's hardly a day, but never a week that goes by that this doesn't get in my mind and consume me. And I wonder about that baby. I wonder about that child that I purposefully murdered. How do you defeat that? How do you get beyond that?" You have to understand that you are forgiven. It's not that God hasn't forgiven you. It's that you have not forgiven yourself. You know what you did. And as atrocious as it was, there is forgiveness through Jesus Christ. He washes us from all sin. We're cleansed from it. But we're so condemning of ourselves. You know, most of the time we are our largest enemy. So number one is what? No, it's not number one. What was the second one that I talked about? Control. Three, homosexuality. Four, abortion. And now number five is where I want to settle and land today and begin to work. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. And we have a difficult time associating those things, our unforgiveness, blocking God working in our lives as would the occultism or homosexuality or abortion or control. But I promise you, the Bible says clearly that it does. And we're going to see that today. Now, my purpose today is to cause us to recognize this fact. If you've ever been around people who are unforgiving and bitter about something that happened in their lives years and years ago, you'll notice their body is usually sick. Their homes are usually a wreck. Because unforgiveness blocks the blessings of God. The ramifications of not forgiving are tremendous. The ramifications of not forgiving can block not only God's forgiveness of ourselves, but His blessings in our lives, such as healing, such as ministry. The things that God really has called and purposed us to live and exist and do. Unforgiveness can cause these things. That's the purpose today. I want us to recognize this and evaluate our own lives, because the Bible will say today that unless you forgive from your heart, not from your mind — many of us have said from our minds, "I forgive." But yet when we see that person or when that subject is brought up in our heart, we know it's still there. Jesus says, unless you forgive from your heart, neither will your Father forgive you. In fact, you'll be turned over to tormentors, and that thing will torment you until you do forgive. I want us to see this today. And I want us to come to a place where we evaluate our own lives and our own hearts, confess to the Lord that possibly there is a situation or a time where I didn't forgive, but I want to, because I want your blessings in my life, oh God, and that I can receive your blessings, your healings, and the abundance that you came to give me. That's what I want to do today. So, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you right now to quote to me the Lord's Prayer. I want you to tell me — not turn there in your Bible yet — but I want you to tell me what the Lord's Prayer is. And I want you to say from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 9, and it goes on through around verse 10, through verse 11, and then verse, 14 and 15, I think is what I want to read. Anyway, we're going to read two verses there, and then we're going to read from Matthew chapter 18. But I want you right now to quote to me, tell me the Lord's Prayer. Would you do that? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us daily bread. And okay, most of you missed it. Most of you missed it. It's not forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. It is forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Show it to them. You see, in the economy of God, sin is a debt. Sin is a debt. And it is a debt we cannot pay. We say it this way. Fill in your blanks. We say it this way because we've been programmed to say it this way. But in understanding forgiveness, we must see sin as a debt. Now, Luke makes it much clearer. Luke was a Gentile. I like Luke. Luke thinks more like I think. He makes things clearer for me to understand and to grasp them. And as Luke wrote it, he wrote it this way in Luke chapter 11. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Isn't that interesting? See, in the economy of God, sin is a debt. And in understanding how forgiveness works, you have to understand that somebody's indebted to you. They have sinned against you. And that what you must do is release that debt.